Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Guess what it's time for? You've got an iron slide. Where is he, man? Go ahead, bud.
It's time for Iron Swine on the Phil Hendry Show. Is Iron Swine going to find out what a kid trying to talk about?
Yeah, Iron Swine, a kid called a Phil Hendry Show. And a kid, we don't get to say spastic.
No, I don't want you using the word spastic.
A kid, he's stuttering.
Yeah, the kid's stuttering. Ding-a-ling. Iron Swine.
Yeah, hey, Iron Swine. There's a kid, I'm listening to radio right now. And
what you doing?
I'm listening to the radio right now.
Oh, sorry.
And there's a kid on the Phil Hendry Show, and he stutters.
Iron Swine, well, what do you mean?
Well, I think he's got some Morse code in his stutter.
Iron Swine then turns on a radio and he's listening to Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry Show, my name is Phil Hendry. Blah, 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 blah. Let's go to RC Calls. Hello. Okay, Iron Swine goes to kid's house. What's your name?
My name's R.C. Collins.
What are you doing anyway?
I called up the Phil Hendry Show. I started to stutter. I went, do 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 do.
Let's see. Do it again. Why, the Transcontinental Railroad has been connected.
Iron Swine, brought to you on the Phil Hendry Show.
What?
I mean, is that it?
What do you mean, is that it?
First of all, you cats are really involved here, man.
We ought to do a critique of it, man.
Okay. I mean, it was cute. Yeah, I liked it. But I was waiting for it to... Anyway.
That's Iron Swine.
Okay, that was Iron Swine, folks. The Transcontinental Railroad's been connected. Is that it?
Yeah, well, you said that the only time they ever used the telegraphs then.
Yeah, so what else the kid gonna say?
Well, if the kid's got a telegraph wire in his mouth, maybe it's some modern news. Who knows? I don't know.
You walk on your side of the street, we'll take care of ours.
Yeah, no kidding, man.
All right, I'm sorry, you guys. You're right. It was very good. So Iron Swine goes and figures out what the kid's stuttering is about, huh?
Yeah.
And the kid is the Transcontinental Railroad. Very good. All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here.
Yeah, you're all like, you're probably thinking, yeah, it sucked.
No, I'm not, man. You know me. I'm just, I get into these, what happened? Where's the picture of Phil? Oh, there I am. I just look at it and I think, well, you could do other things, but you know what? It is what it is, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have no budget for no production.
We don't have no budget for no production. You guys can use any sound effects you want if you want.
No, I don't want to use those. We can do our own sound effect.
Okay, fine. So that was R.C. Collins who called in last hour, folks, and if you missed it, he was going, did it. He was stuttering, and there was something wrong with him, something seriously wrong with him, and there was something seriously wrong with me for putting him on the air. Anyway, welcome to our News and Information Hour. My name is Phil Hendry. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard is with us, and I during the pre-show, I brought up something that I thought it was kind of interesting, and today is the 15th, though, so we've missed the actual anniversary, but it was on the 14th of June, in 1954, that Dwight Eisenhower, the President of the United States at that time, signed a resolution or signed into law the inserting into the Pledge of Allegiance the words, under God.
But 1954.
1954, June 14th, the day that that has just passed. So there's two things there. Number one, under God was not in the Pledge of Allegiance. It was inserted. Obviously, the people who tend to not trust government intrusion, government interference, legislating from the bench, whatever the hell it is you want to talk about, the government. But in that case, the government, that's cool. So let's take something that never had under God in it. Let's go ahead and put God in it. And by virtue of just the government deciding that's how it's going to be. And now, 50 years later, guess what? The Pledge of Allegiance has been kicked out of our schools, our public schools, because some atheist sued and he didn't like under God and it wasn't in there in the first place. Now, this is not anything. I'm not putting down the people back in the 50s, because that's the whole point of this what I'm going to tell you. The people in the 50s. This story didn't even make the front page of the New York Times, and I made that point to our backstage pass members, as I showed the front page of the New York Times from June 14th of 1954. I've got all the front pages of the New York Times going back many, many years. This would be a story that was huge in the United States if it were the year 2012, because, you know, separation of church and state, all of the civil liberties that we talk about, the controversies that we had around the rights of gay people, the rights of black people, all of these things came about following the World War II, following the war and those days in the 50s when we were sort of like in that garrison mentality against communism. And all we knew was, this is democracy, and we believe in God, and we're going to put it into the Pledge of Allegiance. That separates us even more from the commies. So I understand why they did that.
Yeah, they had a point.
In the context of the Times, it's perfectly understandable. And the fact that it's not on the front page of the New York Times, I bet you if I asked every single person in my audience, everybody listening right now.
All four people.
Thanks a lot, Robert.
I'm just kidding around, man.
Yeah. I bet you if I asked everybody in my audience right now, do you think President Eisenhower signing into law the words under God, putting those into the Pledge of Allegiance, do you think that would make the front page of a 1954 newspaper? I guarantee you everybody would say yes. Well, guess what, folks? No, it didn't. Nobody cared. It's not that they didn't care. It wasn't news. Of course we're going to put under God in the Pledge of Allegiance. Of course. That's a no-brainer. Maybe it was on page two, maybe it was on page three, maybe it was on the front page of a local metro section, but it was not on the front page of the New York Times on the day after. That would be June 15th, and that's the day. Anytime you want to know what happened on a particular day and you have the microfiche of a newspaper, look at the day after. What happened on June 14th, 1954? You got to find out when.
June 15th.
June 15th. That's how newspapers work. So back then, that was not news. But as the years rolled on from the 50s, as within 10 years, it was going to be a big story, man. Just 10 years after that, 10 years after Eisenhower put under God in the Pledge of Allegiance, Madeleine Murray O'Hare went to the Supreme Court. She got prayer in public school kicked out. The controversy and the discussion about church and state ensued. Well, what exactly, you know, what's the role of a public school? What, and, you know, folks, you have to understand, again, if you don't know history, then you've got, you know, one hand tied around your you-know-what. The Protestants started the public school systems in the United States.
What do you mean a Protestant?
The Protestants. The Protestants. You understand what I'm saying? The Protestant preachers, not Catholics, but the Protestant preachers were the ones that went down there to the little Five Points in New York into that old brewery building and went and got all of those homeless children and fed them and gave them some education. It was the Lutheran and the Methodist and the Baptist and the Calvinist preachers of the day that eventually organized the schools that children would go to. So public school in America was not just one day some cat had a bright idea in the Congress and said, let's have a public school and there will be no religion. No, that didn't happen at all. The religious leaders of the time put it together. The Catholics came along and said, wait just a minute.
Yeah, I'm counting all the Irish people?
Yeah. The Catholics said, wait, what do you think you're doing? And the Protestants said, what? We're trying to feed these kids. Well, these are Irish kids. And they were. A lot of them were Irish. They just come off the boat. And they're Catholic. We'll deal with them, thank you very much. And what do you think ensued after that?
Catholic school.
Catholic schools. The Protestants said, well, to hell with that. What we need, and I'm, you know, if it sounds like I'm a little bit, and I was raised Catholic, but if I'm sounding a little bigot or a little prejudiced on behalf of the Protestants, I am. I mean, they were far more pragmatic. They said, well, look, here are the schools. Every kid should be entitled to an education. And gradually the public school system developed that way. And the Catholic schools developed, see? And then along comes 1954. We're going to stick God in there because the commies, they don't like God. And now here we are in 2012, and it's a big deal, man. And what pisses me off, and when I say pissed off, I am pissed off. And I'm not some right-wing Bible thumper. I'm not. I am a guy who, you know, I believe in freedom. I believe in my country. I don't need to have under God in the Pledge of Allegiance. As a matter of fact, that whole argument is such a pain in the ass that guess what happened? Now we don't have the pledge in the school because some atheist came along and he didn't want under God in the school. So what do you think the brain surgeons that run the schools did? They decided to just crap can the whole Pledge of Allegiance rather than just take under God out of it. What stupid imbecile made that decision?
Yeah, what about the guy that sued?
He's going to sue. People are going to sue, man. Every day in this country, some dumbass is suing somebody. That's fine. Some atheist is going to come along. Atheists are always suing. They're always upset. And they're always pissed off because nobody takes them serious because nobody really believes such a thing exists as an atheist. I don't. And it pisses off atheists every time I tell them, yeah, that's really funny that you say you're an atheist. They go, why? Don't you think I am? No. And they really get upset with that. But I don't, you know, they have every right in the world, and I don't need under God there. But guess what happened? The guy said, take it out of there. Okay, great. So now we don't have a Pledge of Allegiance. Where are the school leaders will say, fine, let's at least do the pledge without under God in it. Because kids need to learn about identity to be a part of a society, to be a citizen, to know what a country is, to know what a flag is. It's not indoctrinating kids. Anybody that thinks that indoctrinates children is a flaming imbecile. They're kids. You're teaching them something about citizenship and being a part of a whole. Children are not that stupid, folks. You don't say to a kid, one nation and indivisible with liberty and justice for all, and suddenly the kid becomes a mindless killing robot on behalf of Uncle Sam. So take a freaking chill pill. All you're doing with that child is you're saying, this is what it is to have allegiance to a nation. That flag you're looking at, a lot of guys died for that flag. A lot of people dying in good causes all over the world, America. Now, when you turn 18 and you want to take that flag and you want to urinate on it, or you want to wipe your ass with it, or you want to use it as a sweatband, have fun. I don't know whether you'll actually survive the experience because there's a lot of people that don't like that kind of thing. But hey, you know. You don't have to salute it. You don't have to acknowledge it. You don't have to own one. You don't have to look at one. You don't even have to stand up, man, when they do the national anthem at the ball game. If you want to act like a pig and a slob, you go right ahead. But you're a punk kid now in a school, and this is what we teach. Now, that's what I would do if I ran the schools. Unfortunately, though, we got a pain-in-the-ass parent here and another pain-in-the-ass over there. And this guy, he doesn't want God in the thing. And the other parent, they do want God in the thing. So what's the big brain surgeon decision that the two parents make? No Pledge of Allegiance at all in the schools.
That's stupid.
Stupid? That doesn't even begin to tell the story. That's the ego of parents. That is the heartbreak of being a kid. When you've got parents whose narcissism is so out of control, they could give a crap whether their kids live or die, but they don't mind using the kid in the greater purpose, in the greater celebration that is their life, their intellect. Oh, God.
All that from the New York Times, huh?
I got all of that from the New York Times, yeah. All right, we're going to come back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show with more in our News and Information Hour, our podcast. Episode 8 is out. Episode 9, of course, is due up on Monday. Listen and download the free Phil Henry podcast. It's enjoyable. It is archived material from some of the great shows down through the many years that we have done. And if you don't have a backstage pass where you can hear full shows, full hours of our material, get over to PhilHenryShow.com and get a backstage pass. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here, the world famous Phil Henry Show. So, I don't know, I would recommend that you get this. This is a really great CD-ROM. It is the front pages of the New York Times. For every front page of the New York Times, going back to the very beginning of the New York Times.
What year?
Well, I think it's 1851. I think that's what I saw. 1851 was the first printing of the New York Times, and every front page, you know, and
what they had on the front page in 1851?
They had just a bunch of, you know what it was? It was like shipping news. And
what's that?
Ships, man, ships, you know, big ships.
Well, what do you mean shipping news?
Well, they would say in those days, the newspapers would have things like, well, the name of the ship, like the Bud Dickman just docked.
Ha ha, the Bud Dickman.
Yeah, No one caught that.
Okay, fine, whatever. But it would say the, you know, the Eagle just docked, and it has 200 barrels of whiskey, and it's got, you know, a bunch of cotton, and it has this many passengers. So they would tell you what has come into town. And it's a throwback to the days when people literally, and even in those days, in the 19th century in the United States, people would go down to the docks to see what was coming, what had come in. The shopkeepers would.
But are they like people to buy stuff to put in a store?
Yeah, they would. I mean, sometimes there would be an impromptu market that was set up. Sometimes they would negotiate with the individuals there. I think they had actual brokers on the docks working who would talk to you. What do you want? I got a ship here that's this and that. Or they had a special order for for individuals who had paid for that freight, and they were going to deliver it. But you would read the newspaper every day to see, well, what the hell had come in terms of the docks. Then you'd read the newspaper every day to see what's going on with the city council. And the New York Times is no different. The New York Times, I don't think, got involved in all of the what we call modern reporting that was introduced by the New York World and some other papers, where they would talk about suicides and rapes. And that really shocked people when the New York World started printing that stuff. The Times, on the other hand, stayed pretty straight down the middle. And then they got into the real hard news stuff as time went along. Until finally, if you look at some of those New York Times from the Civil War, they're doing pretty comprehensive reporting. They've got guys. The New York Times had a reporter within range of all of the major battles. If not, then they had the guy had some kind of telegraphic, you know, information.
Well, like on Gettysburg.
Yeah, they had a reporter at Gettysburg. They had every. If you look at the New York Times, and you can look at the dates that these battles took place, you'll see here's a dispatch, and it would always say, a dispatch from our correspondent who is down amidst the hail and hell and fury of the battle, you know. And the guy would send his little, he would send his dispatch. So I would recommend this to anybody. If you want to know what the hell's going on now, you got to know. And like I said during the pre-show, it's really important. If you think that we're smarter than the people were back then, as I said to the my BSPs, we are exactly the same as those people.
Yeah, I don't understand that. What do you mean by that?
I mean, we are not smarter. If you take, for instance, people during the Civil War, Americans during the Civil War, we're no smarter than them. We're exactly like them. In fact, the only reason why we think we're smarter than them is because they taught us what we know. You understand?
Yeah, I sort of do.
We don't know anything unless those people showed us the way and taught us what we know. So without their informing us and teaching us, we're just as dumb as them. And frankly, we still are. We don't have anything over them. They got it all over us because they went through all that stuff. They suffered the diseases, and they went through the wars, and they went through the building of a nation, and they went through all of this stuff so that you and I could sit here fat and happy and think we're smart. We're not. We're no smarter than some guy, as I said in the pre-show, we're no smarter than some guy sleeping with a pig in a stable in 14th century England.
Yeah, that I don't understand that. I'd never do that.
Why wouldn't you do it?
I think I'd sleep with a pig.
But why would you not sleep with a pig?
Because I don't believe in bestiality.
No, you idiot. I'm not talking about bestiality. That's how people lived in those days. They had their farm animals in the house.
You talking about they slept with a pig?
The pig was in the house. The horse was in the house. Sometimes it was roped outside the house. But they were in close proximity with the animals. Why don't we do that anymore?
I don't know. Dirty.
Because it's disease-ridden. It's a hazard. And who told us about it? Those guys did. They suffered through anthrax, bubonic plague. They suffered through all of it and learned, holy God, we can't be sleeping with our pig. Now we sleep with a different kind of pig.
What a sexist thing to say, Mr. Henry.
How do you know I wasn't talking? Shut up. All right, folks, so sorry about that joke.
Not a very sexist joke. I mean, it was funny. You know, but...
Okay, I reached for it, all right? All right, we're going to come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL here. It is our news and information hour. What else we got going on here, bud? God, man. I want to find out. Oh, yeah, George Washington's U.S. Constitution is up for auction. Oh, here's the one I wanted to tell you about. Bristol Palin is being sued for defamation by some bar heckler. I got to find out what this is all about. It's really kind of weird. He heckled her, and then she called him gay, and now he's upset. It's even more childish than that exchange that we had between Don Berman and Harvey Weinman. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be right back.
Phil Henry. Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show. And we found this other really cool site called Newseum. I shouldn't say we did. Dan found it. Newseum, Newseum, is a site that has the front pages of over 900 newspapers from around the country. And I got one up on our screen here on our Phil TV and HD, the Oakland Tribune.
What's that mean, untouchable?
That was that perfect game that cat pitched. That Kane, the guy that I was mentioning. Here's a story here. But anyway, so...
So you find out what your hometown is?
Yeah, you know, you find out where you're... If you're traveling around a country and you're missing your hometown.
Yeah, but if you don't want to know about your hometown, why? Why would you?
If you miss... The news from your hometown. What do you mean? You know?
If you're traveling, you want to get away from it. It's by the paper I'm looking at.
But, you know, you got to speak more clearly. What did you just say?
Yeah, man, speak up. I said if you're going to get away from your hometown and you grow up in some burg that's strictly from hunger, why do you want to be reminded about it?
Well, I don't understand your question, man. In other words, you don't want news from your hometown because you don't like living there?
Yeah.
Well, then what the hell are you doing living there?
Well, you're not. You're trying to get out.
So, in other words, you're leaving town.
Yeah, that's what you said.
No, I'm talking about guys that are traveling for business or on a vacation, and they're, and they're going to come back.
Well, no, you're going to come back, but you're sorry that you are coming back.
Yeah. Well, you two guys are, like, weird, man, the way you think of things, you know?
No.
I mean, I don't know how to answer your question. I guess then I would not, this is not a good site for you. You mean you don't want to be reminded of the...
What's so funny, man?
Yeah. What's funny is a guy leaves a town to go on a business trip, but he doesn't want any news from his hometown because he doesn't like living there anyway. And when he finally does come back to town, it's like a bad experience. Okay, I understand. Well, most people, Bud, maybe not most people, but a lot of people, they like where they're from. And they want to know news from the town that they're in. That's all I'm trying to say. Here's one here. This is, what is this?
This is a good one. I wouldn't mind this paper.
Oh, you like the paper or the town?
I like the paper. I'd read this.
All right, so if you didn't come from this town, you'd still read the paper.
Well, no, I'd have to come from the town.
Oh, God, man.
Well, what are you talking about, man? You want to come from the town or don't you? No, but I'm saying I don't like the town I'm from.
What are you talking about? So do you like this town?
Yeah.
What town is that?
San Luis, Luisabo.
Luisabo. San Luis Obispo.
Yeah.
You ever been there?
Not that I know of.
But you'd like to live there because you like their newspaper.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's one of the newspapers there on this Newseum, so go check it out. It's a very interesting site, and not that I'm a newspaper freak, I kind of dig it in that format. That's kind of cool, just to look at the... You know what's messed up about a lot of news sites, I think? A lot of newspapers that have gone online, you know, a lot of papers that have become online publications, that they have crap-canned their layout. They've just gotten rid of the newspaper look. And I'm not saying that they need to hold on to it entirely, but I think it's a very attractive look. What I'm trying to say is, if you're the New York Times, the LA Times, I think you need to continue, even if your online edition now is the only edition that you publish, I think it still needs to look like the LA Times and the New York Times, you know?
Well, I mean, it sort of does.
No, well, it sort of does. I mean, they use the font, but I'm talking about when you look at a newspaper, there is the heading, there is the big banner, then you have the headlines, you have the weather is over here, and you have the date over there, and you have what's in the interior, the inside sections, you have the big headline, and you have the smaller stories, and it's laid out in a way that we're all used to seeing it. One of the things that I think would help some newspapers, and if I'm wrong, you know, tell me I'm wrong, okay?
You're wrong.
I haven't said what I'm going to say yet, have I?
Well, you said, say if you're wrong.
How do you know I'm wrong?
That's just my opinion.
It's just your opinion, but you ain't heard it yet.
No.
Yeah, hey, bud, why don't you go and check out and see what the Louis Sabot newspaper is saying?
Shut up. Yeah, Louis Sabot, man, that's it. That sounds like the name of your sister.
Hey, what about my sister?
I'm going to start kicking somebody's ass. I'm talking to the audience, okay? I'm talking to the real people. To quote Jack Nicholson in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, these are the real people out here. That's the ones that I'm talking to, okay? So if you got an online edition, I go to the L.A. Times or the New York Times or any of these papers, and sure, yes, of course, in what I do for a living, I just grab the news where I can grab it, man, if you'll pardon the expression. And it doesn't make them, I don't give a damn what it looks like. But if I'm a consumer, an average consumer, and I say, well, let me just go over to the Los Angeles Times site. I think it would help the Times and the New York, and any other paper, I think it would help if it was it had a traditional look.
Yeah, you say like, people are attracted to what they're used to.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, people may not be buying newspapers because they have the option of online news, the rapidity of that, the modernity of it.
What's that mean?
Bud, shut up.
Modernity means, yeah, what does it mean?
It means modern, okay? So they like that, but they also are reminded of or remember what the newspaper looked like. And it had a nice look, and we liked that look. And we liked the way it was laid out, and we liked how all the stories had a place, and we liked the little table of contents, and then the different sections and how they were headed. And why can't the website look that way? Because a lot of these newspapers go to this kind of, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, kids, Mr. Hall's on the phone now.
Oh, is Mr. Hall on the phone now? Yeah, David?
What's better?
Oh, what are you going to rip into me for something?
No, I'm not going to rip. I'm not going to say anything other than the fact that you had that that newspaper on your whatever that be, the Phil TV?
Yeah?
I was looking at that newspaper. It was, and I wanted you to take it off because it was starting to drive me nuts. And
well, it's off.
Okay, and then the other thing was, when Bud mispronounces something, and you threaten to beat his ass, I shouldn't say the word.
Yeah, I threatened to beat his ass.
Okay, I got a call from that Mrs. Claren. You remember her?
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, she's a nice lady.
Yeah, sure she is. She called up again.
What is her problem?
Well, she's afraid you're going to beat his ass.
You know, how old are you, Bud?
19.
He's an adult, okay?
Yeah.
And he is not developmentally disabled.
I know. I tried to tell her that. She says he sounds slow.
But tell her to come over. I'll teach her how slow I am.
Does she know he had a motorcycle accident?
Yeah, I told her all of that stuff. She thinks Bud is one of these slow ones. She thinks he's special needs or however, you know, however you say it. And she thinks that when you threaten to beat his ass, that you're in violation of the American, Americans for Disabilities, however you say it.
Americans with Disabilities Act.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the only thing you can do then is just let her sue us or something, okay?
Well, that's what she's threatening to do.
Because she can't get the cops on me. Because the cops know. First of all, I've never laid a hand on you, Bud, have I?
Well, the time you touched my butt.
What's he talking about?
Will you shut up and quit fooling around? Have I ever laid a hand on you?
No.
You haven't touched his butt, have you?
No, I have not. And you know we're on the air, so do you mind?
All right, I'm sorry.
You think that's funny, huh? In any event, I ain't never laid a hand on this kid. We've never had to bring the cops around here. And he is not developmentally disabled. He had a motorcycle accident, which caused some neural damage. But his intelligence and his IQ are where they always were, somewhere below 50.
Shut up! No, it's not.
He's just kidding around, man. That's pretty funny, though.
I am kidding.
Yeah, can't you take a joke, bud?
Well, you're calling me a spaz.
I never used the word spaz. You did. So what does she want?
She just called me up and she said that she's afraid that you're going to start beating his ass because that's what you said you were going to do.
Tell her this, okay?
All right.
Tell her, yeah, one of these days, Phil said to tell you, Mrs. Claren, that one of these days he's going to kick Bud's ass and throw him out of a fifth floor window.
Okay.
And that the only thing that will protect Bud on that day when it arrives would probably be you, Mrs. Claren. So you should immediately race over to the station and try to save Bud. And then Phil assures me that you'll go out the window, too.
All righty. Let me just write this down now.
Bud. Bud.
What?
No, David.
What?
I'm kidding.
Oh, okay.
Are you... I'm kidding, all right?
All right. I was going to tell her that.
Well, you know what? On second thought, go ahead and tell her that.
I mean, were you kidding?
Well, I was, but, you know, that would be pretty funny.
All right, so you're going to... I thought it would be very good. And you know what? You're well within your rights. I told her. I said, look, you bae. Well, I don't want to tell you what I said to her. I said, you've been bothering me. I said, you have been bugging me and calling me. I said, you are about as stupid as they get. I said, this Bud Dickman kid you keep talking about, he's not developmentally disabled. He had a motorcycle accident up in Ojai. I even told her where. And she's this and that. And, that poor boy, right? And I said, Mr. Henry has never... I told her all this stuff. You never laid a hand on the kid.
Yeah, what'd she say to that?
She said she doesn't believe it, that she hears you threatening to beat his ass all the time. And she said that she will have you put in jail and this and that. And she called the Ventura County Sheriff and this and that.
She called the Ventura County Sheriff and they're not doing nothing, which tells you that I haven't done anything wrong. What does she say to that?
I'm telling you, she's one of these people that she thinks she's got you dead to rights. So let me write down. You want me to tell her?
Yeah, tell her that... That, yes, I spoke with you, and I heard her message, and I cannot guarantee that Bud won't go sailing out of a fifth-floor window someday if he pisses me off.
Okay.
And then tell her that it would be nice to know that, you know, she should come down here and protect Bud.
Yeah, tell her to come down and protect me.
Okay.
And on the day that she does come down here to protect him, she goes out the window, too.
All right, she goes out. Hold on for a minute. Well, that's good lemonade. Give me some more of that, will you?
What are we doing here, David?
I'm writing it down. Hold on. Yeah, that's good. I want the lemonade with the...
Are you writing or are you placing an order?
I'm not placing an order. I'm at home. I'm talking to... Yeah. The lemonade and what is it? The Diet Coke. There you go. Okay. What is it?
Oh, my God.
Just what is it?
I said that I'm going to throw him...
Not him. The part about her.
That she should come down and protect him, and I will throw her out the window, too.
What is that? That's RC Cola. I don't drink that.
Okay, David. Thanks a lot. I'm leaving now.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry.
Well, now he's not going to tell her.
I don't give a damn what he does. I don't care, because she doesn't scare me. Okay?
Well, I don't think she does.
No, she does. This is, folks, I'm sorry to leave you out of the loop. She's some do-gooder that calls David and says, every time I threaten to beat Bud's ass, that she's going to have the cops on me. Because she says that I am abusing a disabled guy, you know, a mentally disabled guy. Bud Dickman's a lot of things. He ain't mentally disabled. He just pretends he is.
Yeah, that's the point, man. I'm just trying to get love.
Uh-huh, you're trying to get some love. All right, we're going to come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show to our final segment. Don't forget the Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com. Father's Day, you can still... Get yourself a Father's Day gift for Dad. Now, I can't guarantee it's going to get to Dad on time, but hey, you can give him something on Sunday and say, and by the way, Dad, have I got something cool coming for you within just a few days? And he'll say,
is it from the Phil Henry Show?
And you say, you know, yes, it is, Dad.
I don't want it.
No. Anyway, think about Dad at our website shop, philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
All right, so shut up, Phil.
Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Bringing on the line here, Margaret Gray from a little bird, or column, A Little Bird Told Me. And you wanted to ask me a question, Margaret, about the museum?
I did, Phil. First of all, this is a wonderful website. You're absolutely right. And for people who are familiar with my work, A Little Bird Told Me, a lot of the papers that I'm featured in are on this website. Now, The other question that I had for you, though, is I'm not near a computer right now, and I was wondering if you could look up the, what did I want, Frank?
Your hometown paper?
No. Just let me collect myself. I was wondering if you could look up...
Why don't you tell him what...
Frank, I'm on the... I'm sorry, Phil.
Hey, Phil?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Frank?
I'm better than Custer. Phil, he's sitting here doing his nails, okay? So he's not...
I am not, Frank.
Margaret, I got a show to do. Is there something you want me to look up?
I'm watching a television show that I've been wanting to watch. It's an old Alfred Hitchcock. All right?
Why don't you tell her what it is you want?
I'm talking to him now. Phil, would you please... I'm sorry, Phil. I was doing my nails. Now I'm done. Would you look up for me?
Okay, I have the museum site here.
Yes, thank you. And I was wondering, because I'm in the newspaper business...
Oh, my God, she knows that.
Frank, butt out. People think you're gender confusion. They don't understand.
What do you mean, gender confusion?
Just butt out, Frank. Phil?
Yes, I'm here.
What an ass. Are you talking to me?
Yes, I am, Margaret. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to raise my voice. What do you want?
What I want is this.
Oh, God, would you tell her already?
Frank, if you don't butt out, someone will go sailing out a window. It'll be you. And when you hit the ground, they'll swear it's a dummy. They'll swear it's a movie shoot, and it was a dummy that hit the ground. That's how busted up inside. I can't stand it.
Margaret, I mean, you guys call up wound up.
I'm trying to get him to get you the information you need.
I'm talking to Phil. When you hit the ground, they'll swear to God a dummy came out the window because you'll be so busted up inside.
What are you laughing at?
I just like the way I said that, busted up inside.
Okay, now what would you like me to look up?
Okay, I'm sorry. Would you look up, oh look, I like the way she's doing her hair, don't you?
Yeah, I think it looks pretty good.
Are you guys watching TV or are you talking to me?
Never mind, what a...
How do you like her, man? You know, I treat her with respect.
Well, I told her you're wrapping the show up.
She's doing her nails. She's talking to Frank. Oh, I like the way she's doing her hair. What the hell does she think she's doing? Is she talking to her kid? She's talking to somebody on the phone that is like her sister? You know, I'm doing a show here. When you go flying out of that window and you hit the ground, they'll swear it's a dummy. What is that?
Well, you ever seen them throw a dummy out?
Throw a dummy out what?
On TV in a movie.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Looks fake, right?
Yeah, it looks real fake.
But she's saying that he'll be so busted up inside, he will come flopping out. It'll be like flopping. Yeah, he'll look like a dummy come flop.
Boy, you guys, when you start talking and you get excited, the language you speak is a whole new world of dumb. It looked like a dummy flop, huh?
That's technically what you call it when a dummy comes sailing out.
So the dummy is... So he looked like a dummy. All right, never mind. I'm sorry I asked. World-famous Phil Henry Show, 877... Is that her again? Okay. No, I'll talk to her. You know something? You hang up on me, and you use the word, the D word.
I did not, Phil.
You hung up on me, and you called me a D word as you were hanging up because I heard it. You got some guts.
What? Are you done?
Am I done?
Yeah, are you done? Because I wanted you to look something up for me.
Oh, you want me to look something up for you? Yes, ma'am.
Don't be sarcastic, Phil. Look up, where, my hometown.
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, don't look that up.
Okay.
Look up a place that I wish was my hometown, New Haven, Connecticut. I want to know what's on their front page. Go ahead. Shoot, tell me.
Shut up, I'm looking for it. Hold on.
Hurry. Oh, forget it. What's on? Is Jimmy Fallon on?
She hung up.
No kidding. You think she hung up?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she did. Let me check the line. Yeah, it's dead.
Okay, she hung up. What's the matter? I didn't go fast enough for her this time? Hurry. Who's on Jimmy Fallon? I got the New Haven Register here, Margaret. It's a town you want to live in, huh? On the front page is, let's see, a guy accused of a fourth slaying, so they have a serial killer. Another pair arraigned in a Elm City homicide. Here's another guy who was arrested about a missing man's body. And, oh, this is a great town, New Haven, Connecticut.
God.
You're kidding me, man.
No, all that stuff's on the front page of the New Haven, Connecticut news. Anybody moving to New Haven? Don't look at the newspaper. Man 21 accused of fourth slaying. Pair arraigned in Elm City homicide. Deceptive Smolinski tip results in arrest. Cops say Seymour man lied again about location of missing man's body. Self-defense claim made. I mean, good Lord. The hell of a town near New Haven. I'm going to have to visit. Isn't that the city that Jim Morrison sang of in the song Peace Frog?
What?
Never mind. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, produced by our very good friend Dan Northcraft, and as well, of course, me, Phil Henry. Join us, please, online at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. And with that backstage pass, you will be involved in and see all of the marvelous things that are there for you at philhenryshow.com. New podcast is up, episode 8. Check it out. Hit the podcast link, and we'll see you guys tonight. Yes, it's a Friday night. One more show. And then the weekend, baby. And until then, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.